Shalom, and welcome to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. Happy New Year to everyone, and we are reading about Abraham. This is Philon. Right, one of Philon's writing. He was living around Jesus' time, like 2,000 years before our times. He lived in Alexandria most of the times. He also traveled to Rome and back. And he wrote many, many writings. And one of them I wish to read with you. There are 5 or 6 volumes translated to Hebrew, and I would like to read from volume, where am I? Second volume. It's about Abraham, and he is writing in Greek, and the Greek was translated, his writing were translated to Hebrew in 2 decades, like 20 years it took to translate and edit and bring them into print. So it was like a holy work. And this is about Abraham. Page 77, second volume. The Holy Law says here, and let's see, this is his language. He writes in Greek, and from time to time I will access the... Good evening, Yanis. We're so happy to see you here. Access a bit here the footnotes with the Greek, because there are words in Greek that are used today in English, and it helps to hear just the terminology to put us in the right frame. חוקי הקודש נכתבו בחמישה ספרים. The Holy Law, were written in 5 books. And here there's a footnote. What are the 5 books? Yes, in the Greek tradition, nomos is the law. The name of the first and its address, the creation, genosis, what we call in English Genesis, because it described the creation of the world, that it is contained in the beginning. One second. This name was given to it. It's a book. Meaning the name Genosis or Genesis was given to it, though or in spite that in it are included thousands of other matters, the matters of war and peace, or peace and war, fertility and infertility, hunger, famine, and prosperous, the complete extermination of what was above the earth, in the fire and in the water. Meaning the extermination, there's a footnote here about the extermination is in fire, this is opposite Sodom and Gomorrah, and extermination in water is reference to the flood. And against them, the creation of animal and plants and their good growth in the good or due to the righteousness of a good balance or harmony of air and the season of the year. And also the generations of humans, some of them lived in pure and some of them lived in evil and wickedness. But since these are part of the world or the happenings in it, and the world is the most complete and general of all, he doesn't say who he is, yes, he dedicates it his first book, or all the book. Well, how was the formation, or how was the creation of the world was set? We described in very precision, as much as we can say, in our previous essay. And since we have to check the law one after the other, according to the order, we shall postpone the checking of the detailed law, nomos, that they are like copying. And we shall access to check the general law, nomos. In this case, nomos, a law, is more like general order. Yes, let's continue. And we shall access to check the nomos laws, the general laws, that they are like prototypes. And here there's a footnote which is saying the general law are the general nature law, which are not written on the book or in the book, but this is how it is for the human kind. So again, the law is not the law that don't drive 60 kilometers per hour in this road. This is not the law. This is how the world is. Those were the people who lived in honesty, that they're good, how do you say, midot? How do you say midot in English? I don't know how to say that. Say midot? Virtues. The good virtues are scribed forever in Holy Scriptures, not just for praising them, but also to stimulate the readers and to bring them to a same clearness? Yes. Because those people are, this is interesting how he's gonna say the next sentence, let's pay attention, because those people are laws, masters of nefesh, balei nefesh, uvale dibur, and masters of speech, that he described them or showed them as a flag. And I would like to open this. In Hebrew, he'ela al nes is to rise something, a sign like a flag, when you want to speak about something that is not average, it is like high as a flag, so you pay attention to it. Those are the laws. Masters of Nefesh and masters of speech, that he rose them as a flag from two reasons. Because he wanted to say that mitzvot, commands, we're not sure. Ki ha-mitzvot, it's not so much commands, but the doings that were established are not in contradiction to nature. Again, this is a very profound sentence. All what we read in the Bible and not the detailed mitzvot. Now he speaks about the general or the general law. The general law is basically the law of nature, how nature is. And the mitzvot that people are asked to follow, to pay attention or to cleave to, they have one thing in common. They don't contradict nature. Secondly, because there isn't any bother to those who wish to live according to the law, nomos, order that were established because of the first one. Who are the first ones? Those are the one who lived, so to speak, the four, they call it the patriarchs. Yes, I don't like the term patriarchs, but he calls them rishonim, like pioneers. Shamru et ha-chuka, they kept, they say chuka doesn't, they say in America the law, how do you call the American law? They have the word in English for the American law, it doesn't, constitution, because the pioneers kept the constitution, or the unwritten constitution, very easily and very comfortably before the detailed law came in writing. And accordingly, a man will say in justice that the law that they establish are not but from the memories of the previous living that keep to the next generations the deeds that they did and the words that they say. Because those people were not just tutors or students of someone, and not teachers taught them what is needed to do and to speak, but from listening to themselves. They learn in their own powers, and they used to walk in the way of nature because they saw in nature itself the greatest nomos of all. Because they saw in nature the greatest law of all. And so was it. They behaved all their lives according to the law. They never passed any passing from their free will. Passing, the meaning here in Hebrew, avera, is to pass the law from avar. So I don't know how to translate the word into English, but to pass the law. Yes, so they did not pass any passing from free will. And for those that the destiny, and for those the destiny has timed them, they cry for God. And in prayers and begging, they make his peace until he gave them part in the complete life, which are being handled straightway, Mesharim. In the deeds, that in the thoughts, in the beginning, and also in the deeds which are not from will. So far, this is the foreword. What comes to you when you hear the text? Fernando, Abigail. What Filon reflect in this writing about the law? What is law? Is the law a sentence that a parliament member writes in a book and after 50 MPs vote for it? What is the law? Why is it so important? How do people learn the law? Is there a lawmaker? Is there a lawgiver? How the previous people, the ancients, the pioneers, learned the law? It is nature. And how do they learn the law? How can we learn the law? What is the law? Listening, yes. You can unmute and speak. There is only one law. And how can we learn about it? By listening to it. Yes. This natural law sounds to me as what the Oriental tradition calls the Tao. Listening to it. Any other question? Would you like to unmute and speak? Can I continue reading? Or would you like to comment? Yes. Yes, Fernando.
Hello, Meti, and shalom.
Shalom. Good morning.
Shalom. Good to be here. I'm fine, Meti. I have a question. It seems that it's not easy to put it in words, but it sounds to me that, you know, these fathers or these patriarchs had the ability to listen, to be in harmony with this natural law that is related to virtue, right? So they are like a light to us to understand this natural law. And what calls me is that many people do not walk in virtue or with the natural law. You know, we have this inner system designed as well that lead us to what is not natural, you know, what is disconnected with the natural law. Even it did, and this is only in one layer, because of course the big screen, we are connected independently if we are conscious or not. But we have this system that is related with what he calls the Nahash, right? So I was just wondering here at why we how can we identify it, you know, this system that we want comfort, we want this we feel this desire to not follow the natural, you know.
Again, Fernando, what is the desire not to follow the nature?
Yes, it is not harsh.
Yes,
This other principle that is the some Kabbalists call like the Yetzer Hara or the other side, so on and so
yes,
forth.
without listening to nature, yes. This is what you mean when people follow their own thoughts or their own take of life. Or they take themselves as God, and there's no listening. Yes. This is also exists. This is why he speaks at the first paragraph about those who are listening to nature or to life, and those who are not listening. And now this is only the foreword. Now he's gonna bring concrete examples of listening and not listening. It's very, very interesting. Let's continue reading. I'm so glad that we can read together. The first triad. Yes? The first triad is Enosh, Chanoch, and Noach. This is very interesting. Yes? The first triad is Enosh, Chanoch, and Noach. So we are starting. Since that the beginning of participate, since that the beginning of participating in the blessings is hope, and that in a similar to the way of the king, split and open the soul which likes the completion of attributes. This is how it is. This sentence is translated from Greek, and there's a lot of description here. So it is very opposite to the Hebrew, which is very concise. So he start with this. It's like German. It's like three or four lines, one sentence. And let's see. Since and the beginning of the participation in the blessing is hope, and this hope, which is similar to the way of the king, opens. Yes, split and opens the soul which likes the completions of attributes. That running to win the real goodness. He named the first lover of hope. How did he name the holy blessed he, the first lover of hope? Who would like to answer this question? He named the first lover of hope Adam. Have you heard this before? This description? This is very interesting. He named the first lover of hope Adam. and granted him in a special grace the common name to the whole species. Again, do we understand what he is trying to tell us? He named the first hope lover Adam and granted him in a special grace the common name to the whole species. What Philon tries to tell us in this sentence? Who named Adam? And what is the quality of Adam? He's the lover of hope. And he was named Adam. And the name Adam is not just a private name. His name was given to the whole species, meaning mankind. We say Adam in Hebrew, but in English Adam is man and mankind. So it's not a particular man. The whole species is called Adam. Like Ezekiel says, Atem Nikraim Adam. You, all people, are being named Adam. You are my flocks. And you are, all of you, Adam. There is no singular man. The whole species is Adam. True, it is in the tongue or the language of the Halkidin. Now, Halkidin, this is a footnote here, that Philon, whenever Philon mentions the Halkidin, he means Hebrew. So, it is in the language of the Hebrews that, let's move and see how he moves here very eloquently. Adam is named Enosh. Adam is named Enosh, from the presumption that this who is looking forward for blessings and leaning on good hopes, only he truly is a man. This is answering Fernando's question, not directly. Let's continue and reread it again. He named the first hope lover, Adam, and granted him in a special grace the common name to the whole species. It is also in the mouth of the Hebrew that Adam is named Enosh. Later in Aramaic, Bar Nasha, Ben Enosh, Ben Adam. But Adam is called Enosh. Enosh is Anashim, men. In Hebrew plural, Adam is called Enosh, from the presumption that the one who expect blessings and leaning on good hopes, only he really truly is Adam. Only the one who is looking for blessings, he's not looking for curses, yes? And leaning on good hope. Keep good hope. Keep good hope. Yeah? Only he, truly he, is man. This is the category, this is the definition of man, Adam. This is the definition of humanity even. again. The definition. He named the first hope lover Adam and granted him in a special grace the common name to the whole species. And then in the mouth or in the tongue of the Hebrews, Adam is named Enosh. From the presumption that the one who is expecting blessings or looking forward for blessings and leaning on good hopes, only he is Adam. He is looking for blessings and leaning only on good hopes is named Adam. The one who expects curses and leaning on bad hopes is not human, Adam. Very carefully. Like pessimist is not Adam. Depression, very interesting. From here, it's clear that we were speaking before he was writing, yes? It's very logic how he writes. It's beautiful. He is the best writers I have ever read. So, from here, it's very clear that the lack of hope he does not see as human. Again, from here, it's clear that the lack of hope he does not see as human, but as an animal. Similar or seem as human. Again, and again. From here, it's clear that the one who lacks hope, he does not see as human, as Adam, but as animal, which looks or appears as Adam. This is an entirely, completely different definition of what Adam is. Isn't it? Fernando, Rodrigo, Deborah, Yanis, Felipe, Abigail? What would you like to say? What is the definition to Adam? Has one head, two arms, two legs, has a name, has an address? This is the definition to Adam? According to what Philon is writing, what is the definition to Adam? And what is the definition of animal here? Because you might see one on the street. This is very, very interesting. Also, the book of Zohar speaks about it. It's a completely different, lens. The one who has no hope. Is not human. But an animal. That appears as human, like plastically appears as human. So when someone is desperate and he sees only one way, he doesn't see a way with hope. He has the plastic appearance of human, but at this moment, it's an animal. it is impressive. From here, it's clear that the lack. Yes, this is the best definition of humanity. This is, I agree with you. From here, it's clear that the one who lacks hope, he doesn't see as human, but as an animal that appears as human, that from her denies the most typical to the human, to the human soul, the hope. And accordingly, he wants also to praise and to sing for the one who has hope. And he says in the beginning that he was hoping to the source of the universe and to its creator. And he continues and says, Zeh Sefer Huledet Bnei Adam. This is a translation from Greek, I believe, yes, because in Hebrew it's a bit different. Yes, it's 11. Yeah. Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. Let's read it again. From here, it's clear that a lack of hope, he doesn't see as human, but as an animal which appears as human, that from it denies the most common thing to the man's soul, the hope. And accordingly, he wants to praise and to sing for the one who has hope. And he says in the beginning that he hoped to the source of the universe and to its creator. And he continues and says, Zeh Sefer Toldot Adam. Questions so far? He says here there's a footnote that says, and he says in the beginning, Techila, Techila, beginning, that there's a verse that says in Genesis, As Huchal, Likro b'shem Hashem, they started naming or calling. Yes, in the name of being, Huchal, from Hatchala, beginning. And also from the verb Hechel, there's also the word Tochelet, Tochelet, which is Tikva, which is hope. So how can we see if someone has hope or not? Because someone who has hope, he is human. And how do we see that someone has hope? What is the test? He brings here one verse from the Bible. Maybe we can make it more clear. I'll try to bring this verse. This is Genesis 4:26. Yes, let's find it. Can you bring the English? Genesis 4:26. I'll read and I'll translate. Genesis 4:26. Uleshet gam hu yulad ben, and to Shet also came a son, was born a son. Vayikra et shmo Enosh. Yes, Shet is the third son of Adam and Eve. Cain killed Abel, and then Eve conceived a third time, and she gave birth to Shet. And Shet now, to Shet, a son was born. Vayikra et shmo Enosh, and he named his name Enosh. Az uchal likro b'shem Hashem. Then it was started, or it started, they started to read in the name of being. Being is hope. As huchal, in this case, huchal, it is, how do you say, passive. Passive verb. Huchal, they don't say who started. But in this naming of the son of Shet Enosh, they started naming in the name of being. And Philon takes the word huchal as a verb. And from the verb, there's also a noun, tochelet, tochelet. It means hope, tikva. Why hope has to do with beginning? What is the connection between hope and beginning? How does Philon learn that there's hope in this verse? Because once there's a beginning, what is the connection between beginning or a new start and hope? What happens to someone that has a very good business, but after a few years, the business does not go, his wife is leaving him, the children do not want to talk to him anymore. This man can really drop into depression. Yes? But if there's hope, so there's a new beginning. He can start. He can move a city. He can start a relationship. There's hope. Life is not terminal. Do we see the relation between hope and beginning? Or not? Very good. So, someone has a bad day or something, but there's every moment there's a birth, every moment there's a beginning. It's not finite. This is what being human means. Being human is not what? Finite. There's a belief all the time, hope all the time, in the infinite. Therefore, he says here, and he brings this verse, as huchal likro b'shem Hashem, once Shet. And Shet, you remember how Eve expresses the name that she chose for him. Kishat li Elohim ben acher. God gave me. Shat, in terms of tashtit, base, foundation. God gave me another foundation. Tachat hevel sheharago Kain. Instead of hevel that Kain killed him, I have a new foundation. Shet. Shet also holds the letter of Shabbat. Shet and Shesh. It has many, many readings in the name. But she says, Shat li Elohim ben acher. Shat gave me a base, a foundation. This is the foundation. There's hope in the name. A new foundation. That the once there's a killing, a world is being destroyed. Not just by the life of Hevel. Because Hevel, through Hevel, new life did not emerge. So what is so interesting in the killing of Hevel, there's not just killing of one, but what the worlds that could come through Hevel were also killed. This is why the penalty for Cain is for seven generations, and not penalty, but the perception of. So Eve says, she names him Shet, from Tashtit. Tashtit is a base and foundation, there's a base to life. So she named him Shet. There's a new world now, without killing, without rivalry. Shet is also the two letters of Shutafut, of sharing. Sharing. Not rivalry, this against that, but common and sharing. Shet, Shutafut, Leshotef. We say to share in Facebook or so, social media. Share, Leshotef, Shet, Shet. And this is the foundation. Now, Shet has a son. And he names his son Enosh. And says the Bible, as huchal likro b'shem Hashem, then it was begun to reading, to call in the name of being. The name of being, not the name of becoming. The name of being. And Philon says, huchal. He learns from the verb huchal hatchala. We have the word tuchelet, tikva, there's hope. When there's a new beginning, there's a new hope. Because a man with no hope, he says, no, everything is terminal. It's a dark night. Never, the morning will never come. The war will never end. This is not human. This is not under definition of human. This is under the definition of what? Of finite animal. And Enosh, this is very interesting because we say humanity in English, but in Hebrew, how do we say humanity? Enoshut. Enoshut on the behalf of the name of Enosh. Yes? From this name, we learn the word Enoshut, humanity of mankind. So Philon says that through the name that Shet gives to his son, Enosh, we can learn that he has hope. And from the fact that he has hope, he is considered to be human. This is the course of thinking. Yes. Question, sharing now. Would you like to share? Would you like, אתם רוצים, let's speak Hebrew, biblical, אתם רוצים לשתף, to share? This is what Shed does. He shares and he, what, builds the world while sharing. And he continues and says, Ze Sefer Toldot Adam. There is a verse in the Bible that says, Ze Sefer Toldot Adam. What does this verse tell us? This is Genesis 5:1. You can look for the English. The Sefer Toldot Adam. This is the book of the generations of Adam. This is the book. Let's go with the Hebrew. According to Filon's reading, Ze Sefer, this book, Toldot Adam, the generation of Adam. The generations of Adam and not what? Let's continue. This is the book, Ze Sefer, Toldot Adam, the generations of Adam, and in brackets, and not what? And not animal. Ze Sefer Toldot Adam, this is the book, the generations of Adam, and in brackets, and not animal. Why Toldot Adam? Why generations of Adam? Because Adam has hope. How do we learn from him that he has hope? According to the names that he calls. According to the... To what? To the speaking. According to the language. You remember Heidegger's words? That the language can go this way and the language can go that way, like Fernando introduces to us a few minutes ago. So, Ze Sefer Toldot Adam, this is the book of the generations of Adam and not animal. Because Adam has hope. What defines Adam or humanity is hope. If there's no hope, it's not under the category of Adam. It's not under the category of human. Because animal does not have an alternative. Questions. We're reading in page 77. Can we continue, or you would like to have recess? How do you feel? And he continues and says, Ze Sefer Toldot Adam. Af ki kvar noldu az avot vesavim. Though that already then fathers and grandfathers were born. Ela shebahem, but in them he saw the founders of the mixed species. And here he says, ve'ilu bo, and in him he saw the founder of the pure species and the most, how do you say, tsaruf, how do you say tsaruf, like you take gold and you make a necklace from it or any kind of jewelry, so the gold is very clean, it doesn't contain any other metals, tsaruf, refined. Shenechan el nachon besechel, that he was granted with intellect. That as Homeros, now he moves to Homeros, please pay attention to the movement. Yes, from Bible he moves to Homeros. As Homeros is called the poet, behei hayediah, Hey Hayedia, the knowing Hey. Ha Meshorir. Yes, in English we say the poet. In Hebrew is Ha Meshorir. Hey Hayedia. ברגע שאנחנו, the moment we put Hey in front of the noun is to say it's the. Yes, everybody knows what is it about. Yes, Fernando. As Homeros is being called the poet, Behe'edia, in the knowing Hey, though there are thousands of poets, and the black is the one that we are writing, though what is not white is black, and the archon in Ethan is the eponymous. This is a he now goes and describes how the order goes in Athens in Greek, but this is a completely different take. He wants to say something. He wants to go to a course here, how the structure is being structured in Greece, and to return to the Bible to say what is it, Sefer Toldot Adam, the book, the generations of Adam. But this is a completely different reading. Maybe we can do it next time that we are here. Any questions or comments? What is your impression from this reading? You're most welcome, Rodrigo, Fernando, Deborah, Yanis, Felipe. What do you mean by that? I don't quite. Yeah, you can speak, Deborah. All right. Let's see how it goes. As Homeros is being called the poet, though there are thousands of poets, and the black, he says the black, he calls it black, he means ink. It's the thing that we are writing in, though, because what is not white is black, and the Archon in Athens, he is the eponymous. He's the most important of the other Archon, yes? He is head to the ninth Archonites, that according to him, you are calculating the times. In the same manner, he calls, now he moves to Adam, he called to the custom in hope, Ha Adam, Ze Sefer Toldot Ha Adam, Heidia, the human, the man. And he did not say anything about many other things, or he did not make any comments about the many others that lived next to Adam, because they were not worthy for the name Adam. He says here that this verse, the Sefer Toldot Adam, is speaking about Adam that had hope, because in this time there were many, many, so to speak, humans that also lived, but they did not enter the book because they are not under the category of Adam. So the list that appears, the Sefer Toldot Adam, the book about Adam is the book about having hope. Because there were many, many others living in this time, and he says many grandparents, but they were not under the category of Adam because they did not live according to hope and blessing. So they were not under the category of Adam. This is why they are not mentioned in the book. One who does not expect blessing, meaning good things, and hope, he is not named human. Therefore, he is not mentioned in the book. The book does not mention people without hope. The lineage is the lineage of hope. But he made it better, or he really made it excellent while speaking about the generations of the real men, Ha'adam Ha'amiti, the true men. And he was very, precise in his goal, because the Master of Hope is worthy to be memorized in writings, not upon pieces of paper that has the fortune to be destroyed by this butterfly. There's a dark butterfly, not butterfly that appears in the day, but there's like there's a little moth that he eats the paper. Yes? And he was very precise in his goal, because the Master of Hope is worthy to be remembered in writing, not upon pieces of paper that are destined to be destroyed by the moth, but by the nature of the infinite, that in it are written the excellent deeds. You see the distinction between finite and infinite? What is written on paper might be destroyed by the moth, all kinds of insects. But the Master of Hope will be remembered not on the piece of paper that might be destroyed by the moth, but in the nature of the infinite, that in it are registered or are written the excellent deeds. So the Master of Hope is written or remembered in the infinite, in the nature of the infinite. Thank you so much for being here with us, Rodrigo, Fernando, Deborah, Yanis. Would you like to ask any question? Would you like to comment? It's an excellent writing. So what do we summarize today from the reading? Only the one who expects blessing and live according to hope is under the category of human. This is the beginning. And in the Bible we find the verse, Ze Sefer Toldot Adam, Yes. And the generation of Adam is the generation of hope and blessing. This is what it is about, hope and blessing. Would you like to comment, Yanis, Deborah, Fernando, about the text? Do you have any question, comment? Please feel free. If not, I would like to thank each and every one of you for joining us today. Wishing you a great week and hope to see you here again. Toda ulitraot. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to Bible Stories as Blueprints of the Soul, your Biblical Hebrew podcast. For more information, articles, videos, and interactive classes, please visit hebrew.learnoutlive.com or join our YouTube channel. Shalom v'chol tov.